Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. Thank you very much for choosing this content. Thank you very much for subscribing and for sharing. And if you haven't done so, the small button below me in red, you press it, you've just subscribed. It costs you absolutely nothing. My guest this week, God, I think I have a lot in common with her. So she's a broadcaster. She is a girl from Soweto. Sadly, when I met her, she was Miss Other Team that nobody really cares about. Like, you know, if you know what I'm talking about. And now she's an author. Right? I mean, she's done something that all of us wish we could do and take a lifetime to do. And once we've done it, we realize, damn, why didn't I write this book much earlier? Well, I don't know if she thought that way. Mapaseka Mukwili.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm dark and lovely. Thank you. How are you?
Well, I could say I'm light and lovely, but I'm also dark and lovely.
You know, there are people who write books. That makes sense.
Right.
And there are those who write books about sex.
That's you? Okay.
I'm glad you wrote a book that makes sense.
Thank you.
You didn't write the other book. Leave it to other people who don't make sense, right? Intimate you. Pasi, congratulations first. Let's start there, right?
Thank you.
Got to do this finally.
Finally got to do it, hey?
Why? Why did you think I need to do a book?
It was never my thought from the get-go. It was always everybody else's thought.
Yeah.
I've always been asked, you know, you must write a book about relationships. You must talk about relationships. You're always talking relationships. You must do a podcast. You must do this. You must. And I was like, it just felt like noise.
Yeah.
And I just think I was not ready. But when the time came, I think it came. And I was like, okay, now we can do
it. But it had to follow. I mean, anybody who listens to Mapaseka on Radio 2000 and has followed your work, it's captured now here, right? In all these pages here, in 25 chapters of work. So it had to follow. Because what you do on air falls through at some point. This I can keep in this, on my best side, you know, and when I'm doubting myself about Mojola, I can say chapter 13.
Let me. No, I hear you.
So you finally put it on paper, and it lives forever now.
That's the beauty of it. You know, I didn't realize until after. Do you know how you never think that deeply about things until I held the book in my hand and I thought, oh my gosh! And somebody said to me, "You've immortalized yourself." And when they said that, I was like, "Whoa!"
Completely. Forever.
Whoa, think of that.
And ever.
Sure.
So long after you're gone, this will still
will
be referred to.
Sure.
Right? We're going to get to the book, Relationship Pocket Book. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Let's get to the technicalities. How long did it take you to put the book together?
Didn't take me long. I'd say around 2 months.
That is the writing.
That is the writing and putting everything together.
Yeah.
So when I started writing, I knew what I... So, let me take you back. I had the chapters on my laptop sitting there for years. And...
So, when I said how long, I meant all of them.
All of that.
Yes.
Okay. So, I had those chapters there for years. And the reason why I had them there for years, I kept on thinking, what would I write about? If I was to write about relationships, what is it that I think is important to be known?
Yeah.
And I would put down a few chapters, like just the titles. And I thought, okay... And when I got to chapter 22, I was like, yo, that's a lot. And I walked away. I was like, So I had to, again, now start convincing myself, but hold on. Actually, that work is still you. So I have I'm going to give you a little secret. I've got a little folder on my laptop, and it's called Next Life. Next Life has... things that I always thought I would do in my next life, you know? Because broadcasting is not your life forever.
Yeah, no.
And shouldn't be your life forever.
Shouldn't.
Actually.
Yeah.
So, next life. This was in my next life. Interestingly. It was in there, but not like this. It was just write a book, talk more about relationships, do a lot of work around relationships. And I left it at that. So, anyway. Those chapters are sitting there, and I thought, okay. But in November, I had to submit some work that I was doing. And after that, I literally found myself twiddling my thumbs. And I was like, ooh, this is...
What next?
A very difficult space. When you're used to being busy, it's difficult to not be busy. But I also thought, I don't want to start something that's going to stress me. Let me do something I think I'm going to enjoy. And I started with this.
And then it was 25 chapters. And when you thought was, 22 was a lot.
When I thought 22 was a lot.
Yeah.
And then it was 25 chapters. I remember at 23 and a half, 23 chapters. 23 chapters, I was like, okay, I'm done. And then I thought, no, but...
Something else I haven't touched
on. Hold on. I still need to touch on... And then I added the extra two chapters. And after that, I actually closed it. And I was like, no more. No more.
So let me give you my feedback. And we're not going to talk about chapter by chapter. We don't want to spoil it. They must buy this book.
Yes.
My first impression was that the book is well written.
Thank you.
I confess, I'm a finicky reader. If I don't enjoy what I'm reading, I don't care what is inside the book. So the content means nothing when the form is bad.
I hear you.
So I enjoyed reading what I was reading.
Oh, thank you very much.
Of course, I mean, you know, so I was battling with those issues. But the writing... kept me reading. And by the way, non-stop read in a day and a half.
Oh, wow.
Done.
That's amazing.
I took the book, 1.5 days, I was done with it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's a beautiful book, well written.
Thank you. Not sure
about whether those things you talk about. Yeah, but we're going to get to those.
For normal people, they're okay.
Who are you writing for?
I'm writing for anyone that says they want to have a better life. Anyway, you want to improve relationships. And when I say relationships, I'm not necessarily talking mjolo.
Mm.
I'm talking relationships.
Relationships.
Wanting to improve the relationship, yours and your sisters, yours and friends, yours and colleagues, whatever relationship has to start with self. So the relationship with self, big for me.
Mm.
That's who I'm writing for. So if you are interested in taking yourself to the next level in terms of understanding yourself better and therefore being able to understand what is going on around you and not just reacting. When you don't understand yourself well, Rams, I think we tend to behave like science experiments, you know? You throw something in there and it just blows up and you don't know what happened. And we can't live life blowing up. So we've got to know what is happening.
Well, one Greek philosopher once said, know thyself.
There we go.
Just know thyself. If you don't know yourself, it's difficult to understand other people.
Exactly.
One last question before then I get into this book. There's always a temptation when people come to you and say, you must write a book, right?
Mm.
9 out of 10 times they say we must write books about ourselves.
Yes.
Why didn't you?
No. I was very, very clear. From the get-go, this is not a memoir. I'm not interested in writing a memoir, and at least not yet. If I was to ever write a memoir, it will be much later, and I have my reasons why I would never write it now.
Hopefully not in the next life.
Well,
in this life.
In this life.
Okay.
We hope. Next life, my next life is still this life.
Oh, it's still in this life.
Yes, okay. It's still in this life. What must happen later, but in this life. So if I was to ever write a memoir, there's a lot of people that are upset. I also don't do well with not telling the truth, Rams. I don't do well with not telling the truth.
But those are the books that sell, those controversial ones that tell hard truths.
You see, my thing is, I don't want the controversy. I just want to put out my truth. So,
no, but the truth can be controversial.
This is the problem. This is just the problem. Now, there's a lot of people that I look at and I'm like, oh, I think the only person or the only people who would understand if I was to write a memoir and probably appreciate it, probably my husband and children. Maybe because they've lived with me and understand me better. But anybody else outside that space would be like, whoa. And that's purely because there's a book that I love, absolutely love. I read it many years ago, and I keep rereading it. And there aren't a lot of books.
Now we know it's not my book, because you can't have read it many
years
ago.
Well. Yours talks about other things that we will reread about. But I love The Four Agreements, Dan Miguel Ruiz.
Yeah.
Absolute fave. Actually, I bought The Fifth Agreement just the other day.
I must check it out.
I was walking through Exclusive Books, and I was like, oh, The Fifth Agreement. And I thought, this is interesting. So I got that. But anyway, I digress. So The Four Agreements. One of my favorite agreements, be impeccable with your word. I read that for the first time in 2006. I was gifted the book by a friend, 2006. And I held on to that. And as such, I struggled to not tell the truth. So if I'm to write a memoir...
Disclaimer. Try not to tell the truth. I am broke because I always tell the truth to people on their faces. Like, I'm hopeless, right? And so, I have lost favor. I don't get jobs. I don't get... But it's fine.
But you see,
but I'm
you're
honest.
Happier.
I'm honest.
Also, you sleep better.
Indeed.
You know?
Yeah.
And if somebody was to wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, what is this? You'd still be able to answer it comfortably because it's the truth. You don't have to think about it. That
okay.
matters for me.
Let's get into Intimate You, your relationship pocketbook.
Yes.
25 chapters, but in truth, you're dealing with four themes in this book.
Yeah.
Choice, mm-hmm. honesty. Intention?
Intention
and awareness.
Yes.
I read the book.
So you read the book.
I read the book.
So I must tell you, I didn't realize that they spelled Chia.
Right?
It was only at the launch. Happy says.
So we're going to get to the themes because I don't want that to go through chapters because you must buy the book.
Yes.
Right? We're going to get to the themes. And I like the first theme, right? Because the first theme speaks about being intentional about what you choose in relationships.
Yeah.
And I don't want us to talk about only intimate relationships, as you said, because it's about every other relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But some relationships, Pasi, we don't choose. We happen into them. We get born into these relationships.
Yes.
You can't wish your father away
or
your uncle away who speaks when everyone wants him to keep quiet. How do you make these choices and make them work such that you can relate with other people?
So let's break it down then.
Yeah.
You haven't chosen the relationship, right? You have found yourself there.
Yeah.
You still have the choice of how this relationship affects you, of how you show up in this relationship, of who you want to be in this relationship. That still stands with you. You still need to be honest enough with yourself to say, this is the relationship. This is where we're at. What do I require from it? What can I give it? But that honesty is not even about you being able to tell somebody else. Self. I always say this book is a mirror.
It's a self-guide.
It's a mirror.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, what is it that grinds me? And why is it that when this Ntatewaka says 1, 2, and 3, why do I react in this way? That then will take you to awareness. Are you aware of who you are, where you are at every point in your life? So that awareness also says you've got to be aware of yourself. You've got to be aware of your surroundings. If you're aware that this guy has absolutely no clue what he's doing, why are you still getting hurt by this guy? You see, there's a lot of things that you can actually avoid stress from by just being aware, by just being intentional, by just being honest and making the choice.
Interestingly, that you actually now have worked it backwards.
I always work it backwards. It's so interesting.
And I like that. And we're going to talk about all these things together. Now that you've put them together,
yes,
let's work with them all at once.
Right?
A lot of us are scared to be aware of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're scared of knowing that I am bad in this.
Mm-hmm.
I suck at that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take feedback very well. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
Therefore, how then do I skip that part or deal with that part so that I can then relate better with others around me?
You don't skip that part, ever. You don't skip that part. You go to honesty. Why am I so scared to look at myself? Now you need to be honest with yourself. Why? What is it about me that makes me so scared? Is it my background? Is it what I expect of people? Is it what I want people to see? What is it that says to you? Because that's what actually guides
you. It could be also history, that something happened in the past.
This is what I'm saying. This is where your background comes in. Something could have happened to you when you were much younger that has affected every other relationship and how you relate even with yourself. But you've got to be honest enough to say, you know, that is actually why I'm dealing with 1, 2, and 3. If you can't look at Rams in the picture, in the mirror, and be able to talk to Rams at all the stages, because you still need to, at some point, go back and talk to little Rams and say to little Rams, you know, you had 1, 2, 3 dreams, and this is what we've done. We've done all right. We've done okay. Well done. Well done to us. And you high-five each other. It's okay. And you need to talk to a different Rams and be able to. I still go back and have huge conversations with myself. I know the things I wanted to do, Rams, in school, for example.
Mm.
I know the dreams that I had, and some of them I never did achieve. I wanted to be a medical doctor for whatever reason.
Your parents put it into your head. They did to us. All of them did that to us. That's because you got 80% at mathematics.
But let me tell you the most parents. Interesting thing. I still love medicine to date. I still read medical journals. I'm the one person who, when somebody says, oh, I'm struggling with 1, 2, and 3, I will go and read up on it.
Mm.
I find it interesting like that, you know. But I've also learned to say to the younger me, maybe we wouldn't have survived very well there.
I know I wouldn't have. I'm squeamish. I can't stand blood. I can't stand things. I know. I'm so glad I did not follow that.
See, route. I'm not squeamish. Oof. I would easily operate on a person. I would easily... Look, I'm that person.
Hope almost.
Not even. But I would want to sit in a room and watch things happen. I was very upset when I was having kids and they didn't want to show me. And I was like, no, I want to see everything. So... my mind says, for me to understand what's happening, I need to see every single thing. I need to understand it. So, but I would have been bored. I'm a talker. I'm a communicator. And there, it's...
yeah, lab code and work. And that's it, right?
Who would have been talking to? Patients? It wouldn't have worked. Just would not have worked.
So I know you know the nature of this podcast, because this question is in the nature of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking with the theme of awareness.
Yeah.
Should people walk into a relationship and say, Nagrata Chalet, and that's who I am. So, you know, ain't no finance, no romance without finance.
What's your intention? Remember, they don't stand alone. So when you say this, what is your intention? You're making a choice to say, this is the person I want. Now, if I come to a person who plays open cards with me, Mamela, ke iperekela, hakinang, this is where I am, and I come in and I say, kerata chalete, what am I hoping for? Because then it means I was not honest somewhere with self. Not with him, mm-hmm. but with self. Because then it means at some point I thought, let me jump into the relationship first, and then I'll sort this out. If you know and you're aware that this is what you like, it may not be the greatest thing for everyone, but if it's what you want, please be honest to yourself.
Then I lose out on you because I really like you, but... So where does compromise come in?
You see, you must be aware that you want to compromise. Then the intention for the relationship is set. I know this person does not have this one. How much does it weigh in my world? If I'm to 80-20 it, is this part of the 20 that I can let go? Or is this my...
it's core. This is 80. This is right there
exactly.
In the 80.
Yeah. And is this a non-negotiable? Because if it's a non-negotiable and you're sticking in that relationship, you're going to make yourself miserable and the next person. Why? Why are we doing that? You know it's not going to work. And it's not like this person's going to wake up and win the lotto tomorrow. The chances of us winning the lotto are...
yeah, just 1 out of 14 million.
So if you are going to sit there and say that to this person, win a lotto because, I mean, why are you stressing everyone? You've made the choice.
Yeah.
You've also then made the choice to say, I will handle whatever it comes with. So I will handle, as long as there's money, I'm happy to be spoken to badly. I'm happy to be ill-treated. I'm happy to not be given attention. As long as I've got money, I've got a friend who used to say to me, I'd rather cry and wipe my eyes with a 200 rand note.
My friend says, I'd rather frown in a limousine than smile on a bicycle.
You see. Yeah. Now, choices that we make. It's okay. None of it is wrong, actually. But it's a choice that you need to make and stick with. Because once you've made that choice, you can't come back and want to blame the next person for not having the money. You knew. You still decided to go there.
So one thing I know I am is that I'm very intentional.
Right? Okay.
But I don't want to romanticize it. Being intentional also means that you may not fit in many, many blocks out there.
Yeah.
Right. And you may have to take decisions that even do not work to your, well, at least to do not always enrich you or do not make the best for you, but it's because I am intentional about this, you know.
Yeah.
And people don't like that. People then, those that have to relate with you, then get bothered by your intentionality on something that matters to you.
Hold on. So who are we doing this for?
Yeah, but we still have to relate with others, don't we?
But hold on. Who are we doing it for? Is it not for REMS?
Yeah, it is for REMS.
Right. Is REMS comfortable and happy?
Supposedly.
What I'm saying is, if you can answer that question and say, even with this decision, I'm still happy, I will stand by this decision, then it doesn't matter really that other people don't like it much. They don't have to like it much. It really isn't about them. This is where we go wrong. We personalize other people's decisions. Why? Why am I... You decide to wear a red shirt today.
Yeah.
What if I decide today I don't like red? Okay. It's my decision to not like red. And if I write... If today I like purple, that's my purple.
But when you and I relate in one way, one form or another, I'm your brother, I'm your hubby, I'm your partner, whatever I am to you...
Not necessarily. So, wagena, but remember, you're not going to change me and you're not going to fix me. And that's another thing about this book. We're not fixing other people. We don't go out there trying to fix people. We fix ourselves. Can I handle it? Today, I want to do 1, 2, and 3. I know it may not sit very well with REMS. But you know what? REMS likes 1, 2, and 3. Lena is separate to what I like. Am I comfortable to meet REMS halfway? I can. How far can I go without losing myself? Actually, I can go this far. That's still being intentional. I can go this far without losing myself. But I know after this, this is my cutoff. But if you're aware of what is happening with you and who you are aware of your, I keep saying background, you know, you're aware of what dictates how you react. REMS, if somebody was to walk in and start screaming at you, your reaction could be to scream back or could be to throw something, whatever the reason may be. You are judged on your reaction, not on what they did. Doesn't matter what they did. They may have walked in here and provoked you. They may have walked in here and said, "When I REMS here, you think?" It doesn't matter. Your reaction, because you have control over that. You should have control over that. And that's where awareness comes in. What are your triggers? So I know that if REMS can handle, I can handle so far. Anything past my boundary will trigger me because of 1, 2, and 3. And I can be honest enough with that. I'm then able to say to you, REMS, I know you wanted to do this. This is what I want to do. But I think we can meet each other here. Because it also does not mean you need to be rigid just because you're aware of who you are or you are intentional. You live, and you're right, we live with people. But my boundaries still stand, even when I live with people. That, for me, is very important. Do not step over my boundaries. And then we're good. You will have yours, I will have mine. And we are good.
So I play golf. Like your dad.
Like my dad and my son and my husband.
Right? Now, relate more to your dad because it's a country club. You know, I don't relate to those guys that you relate to your dad. And one of the things that, at least those of us who come from old school, is still believing in that, in the serenity and silence when we play this game. Now, nowadays, we play with people who make noise, who even come with pocket speakers and stuff like that, right?
Sure.
I have learned to bottle it in because I don't want to get into conflicts.
Right.
But it's not that I am happy. I find that I'm spending a lot of time unhappy because this is... But I'm choosing not to get into wars. I'm choosing not to get into conflicts. Is that good?
How does that help you when you're done? How do you feel when you walk away from that experience? How do you feel?
Suicidal. Or homicidal, actually. No.
Mostly homicidal.
Homicidal, yeah.
Do you think that benefits you in any way?
Of course not.
So why are you playing with those people?
Sometimes you find them.
REMS, be intentional. I want to play golf. I know when Mpo plays with me, Mpo wants a speaker. I can't play Limpo. Mpo, I want to play golf and I'd love to play with you, but I have problem. I have a problem with the speaker. Is it something that you can... You may find that Mpo's like, oh, I thought you enjoyed it. Oh, you don't know. No problem. Switch it off. It may not even be a thing. But because it's never said anything...
Or then Mpo says to me, okay, then go play alone. Then I miss out on playing...
No, then what's wrong? Go play alone, Rems. Listen, if you are going to be deciding that you want to walk in a happy space, your compromise comes to a level. Yes, there are things that you will definitely compromise on. But if you're feeling homicidal once in a year, maybe we can live with it. But if you're going to play with these people weekly and you're going to feel like killing everyone weekly, we have a problem. Because at some point you're going to act on something.
You know, your response to me proves what I thought this book should have been called.
Which was?
Or at least the blurb, right? I'm still happy with Intimate You. But maybe what you're saying is that take responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think we deflect responsibility, don't we? It's always somebody else. It's always a circumstance. It's always...
Completely. Completely. But that's because we are so scared to own it. Even the bad. Because even when things go bad, it's still you. Well, now what have you done?
Ultimately, it is still
you. It is still you. Yeah. But because everybody's so quick to point. No, Rems did 1, 2, and 3, and I didn't like it. That one said 1, 2, and 3. What did you do about it? When you didn't like it, then what? I mean, I was making an example of somebody walking in here and how you react. That person could walk in here and do something to me, and I could just keep quiet and just look at them. And you would be like, but why? And I'd be like, let's continue. It doesn't mean I'm not angry. It means I'm choosing to not react to that person. It means I'm also making a choice to say, my bubble, you are not getting inside. Because in fact, your reaction, take it as you allowing people to jump into your bubble. It literally is that.
If I became conscious of these four concepts of choice, honesty, why do I keep on...
Intention
and awareness. If I became very immersed in them and I understood what you wrote, how do I come out on the other side in relationships?
You know, then you are clearer with what you want and what you can give in a relationship. We tend to morph into what the next person wants because we want the relationship so badly.
Yeah.
So now you realize that this person, okay, Obata, a guy who does 1, 2, and 3. Now you start doing these things, but that's not you. But if you actually show up as yourself and they have the option to say, that's not what I was looking at, but wow, that's refreshing. That's nice.
Mm.
It doesn't always have to be negative.
Yeah.
But we are so scared, Rams. You know, we navigate life in a state of fear. And that's where our biggest issues are. Because if you're reacting out of fear, you're always thinking, am I wrong? Oh my gosh.
But I'm going to lose it. Right? I really like this girl, but if I stick to my choices and my intention and my honesty and my awareness, I may just lose her.
Then do you think, how long do you think she was going to be there? If she was going to be there based on her and not you. Based on you morphing yourself into them. And this is what I always say to people, that when you start a relationship, unfortunately, it's a marketing pitch.
It is.
It's unfortunate, but that is what it is. People walk into a relationship and they say, I can do 1, 2, and 3. I am special. I can give you 1, 2.
I like reading.
I like.
Then you ask them, what are you currently reading? See the Bible. Like, you know,
and you're like,
reading.
And then you're like,
not reading.
And you're like, that's all. You know what I mean? And I could easily say to you, I like reading. And you say to me, oh, what are you reading? And I say, oh, no, Marnakarata, Danielle Steele.
That's your reading.
I love reading.
Yes.
But that's what I love reading. You see, that's, again, being honest with who you are.
Mm.
Whether you are going to judge me for that, now that would be silly for you to turn around and say, no. I only date people who read these type of books.
Yeah.
Then the problem then is outside of me, not inside.
Yes.
So for me, the biggest thing, can I not have the problem internal? Can it stay outside of my bubble? Can I protect what is my bubble? That's what's most important. If I can do that, getting into a relationship, and I can show you who I am comfortably and easily so, And I can comfortably say to you, oh, I like 1, 2, and 3, you know, and you say, I love golf. And I say to you, I have never understood that thing. What are you doing? You love golf, Rems. It doesn't change the
love
fact.
It
doesn't change the fact that you love it. And it doesn't make it less of an interesting sport. I may compromise every now and again and sit and watch it on TV with you when you're watching the Open what.
Yeah.
And all of those things, they'll dish up a language TV that I don't understand. But
people like you. Yeah.
But I could sit with you and I'll know who Tiger Woods is.
Yeah.
And I will understand.
But I should not expect you to know Anthony Kim. It's unfair.
And if you want me to, maybe you can inform me.
Okay.
Maybe you can comfortably say, you know, there's this guy. Here was a 1, 2, and 3. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, is it? Because I'm interested in you, I'll be interested in what you have to say. When you come back next time.
That much I know is true. Ne? I have a history of not watching soapies. Like from teenagehood, I never watched soapies.
Yeah.
And then I dated this woman. Hey, did I binge on the river?
You see now.
Like, me, Rams, like, okay, look.
You see now.
I've got an excuse, Nyana, ne? And I know it's an excuse, but I was also in love with this Cobrizi character thing. I just somebody got me to watch that, and I was now the one who's pressing the remote to
you
go
see,
to this thing.
And you may find that you actually start enjoying something like that. I'm not one for, and I keep making this example, I'm not one for couscous, Rams. In fact, from a very early age, I was always called serious, you know, because you would never, I came out to him, like that. I see nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. I just feel out of place half the time. Who am I married to?
Yeah. I mean, you don't go to gigs with this fellow.
Hardly. But when I do, you would be shocked. Get over.
Good.
Beginning to end. All of me. And you find those who know me very well would always say, huh.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
And I'm like,
we went gigging with a common friend some years ago, having fun, right? Like New Year's Eve or something like that.
I had
a crazy time. It was many years ago. I was young and handsome.
Oh,
but that's like many
very
years
long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. But it's not who you are now. And we need to know who we are.
Awareness. It doesn't mean I won't go mukruvong now.
Yeah.
If there's a soul kaplata happening, trust, I'm in front. The songs I love, I'm going to have fun. And that will be it.
Yeah.
I would have had fun and I will come back home and I will do the things that I love. Whatever it is. You know. So I think we also need to be careful of trying to be exactly what our partner is. Because if two of you are the same, then one is unnecessary. What are we doing? What are we doing?
So I told you I like how you wrote the book.
Yes.
And I'm going to confess that.
Did you do the pause and apply?
See, that's why I'm going. Please leave me alone a bit. I'm the one doing this interview here. But I won't lie to you that I find it heavy that you want me to take responsibility for my nonsense.
But
I want to move on from that and go to something else. Bouquet was heavy. Like, I felt like, hey, my Rems, this is personal. So I'm going to move on. It's fine. You know?
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
I've had the feedback that I've gotten from a lot of people. They have said to me, you know, you made me look at myself and ish. Some lady said to me, I found myself crying because I was like, oh my goodness, is this what I've been doing? And I'm like, but all I didn't even say to you, you've been doing this. All I did was just put a mirror in front of you.
So I did say I won't go through chapters, but this something I thought I should.
Okay.
Ask you on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3, understanding each other's love languages and needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say on page 29, the real question isn't only, do you love me? But, do you know what love looks like for me?
Yes.
We hardly ever get there. At least we don't get there very early, right?
Yes.
And therefore, by the time I get to know what love looks like for you, it's probably what I have not formulated and perhaps not even ready for or not willing to play to.
You know, the difficulty with not answering that question in a relationship is that I'm going to then love you the way I know love.
Yeah.
And you may not appreciate it. It may mean absolute nothing to you. I'll give you an example. If I see love as spending time together. But you have always seen love as gifting. And that's your love language. When somebody gives you a gift, they kind of show you, oh, matong unnakhanne, I reka gift, you one rata man. And you keep buying me gifts. And I'm at a point where I'm saying, take the gift, put it away. Thank you very much, but can we spend time together? And you're like, Margorek, it's a gift. Great, that's amazing. Thank you. I really love the gift. But I want to spend time with you. Do you see now? So we are talking past each other. We are both trying to show each other love. So the essence of what we're trying to do is the same. However, wena utlaka language ya hao, omung utlaka language ya hai. And until we find a neutral point where we actually get to understand the other one's language, you're going to lose it. So if you're going to be asking the question, do you love me? Yes, show me how. Huh? No. Do you know what love looks like for me? And love looks, remember again, what love looks like for me now may not be what love looked like for me when I first got married.
We evolve,
change,
right?
We grow, we evolve. We should change, grow, and evolve. We really, really should. So being intentional about being with your person and loving them and understanding them, you get to see those changes in the, you know, evolution of this person and. And you start appreciating those things.
And when you have told me, and I find, ish, is that the point when I say to you, I don't have the heart. Okay, I shouldn't be singing. But, I mean, could it get to that? That says, the way love looks like to you, I can't give you that love. I can't give it to you that way.
You know, it's what you make of it. If you are so hard up on, I will never ever love you that way. Nah, kispendena kolwena, it's never going to happen. And it's a hard no, then maybe you should say that to me. But if you can be comfortable enough to say, okay, you know what, because of my work, I may not be able to spend time with you like that, but I will make an effort for us to spend time together. So don't phone me and say, so when do you think you'll be free? You're not being intentional. You're simply just passing the buck. But if you actually come and you say, Mamela, I'm busy on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've got this and that happening. But on Saturday, I've got time. Please, can we be together? I'm going to pick you up at this time and we'll spend the day together on Saturday. And then I'm not going to see you again for the next week and a half because keep busy, go 1, 2, and 3. But you see, you've made time for me. You were intentional. You made the choice. All of it.
And I'm aware of what matters to you.
And you are honest enough to say, this is where
these
I
other
said,
days I can't do
and
it.
This, you are honest to yourself first.
Yeah.
And then to the next person.
So before you rudely interrupted me when I was telling you about Matata Abukai, what I do though love about this book, other than it being well written, is the pause and apply thing. It's a workbook.
Yes.
Right. I love that because I've got a friend whom you may know if you don't know him, don't know each other directly. Ndumiso Ngobo.
Yes.
He hates motivational stuff.
Right? I love his head, by the way.
I don't mean the size.
I love
a lot about both.
Well, he's got a very, yeah.
Follow-ups, nothing personal. Pause and apply.
Mm.
For me, is what everybody should walk away with this book. Because, yeah, you can read, but yeah, it actually makes you work,
yeah,
not just read.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So the point for me was to say, okay, we've written this and then what? You know that so what thing that always comes up?
Mm-hmm.
I always have that. I'm always like, okay, you've written so what? But how do you make sure that this person is actually doing the work?
Yeah.
Is to ask them questions. And if you are going to sit down and actually answer those questions, I keep saying, write ka pencil.
Yeah, so that tomorrow is a new answer.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
So that as you see yourself grow, you're able to say, hey, actually, this is how I thought I would have answered this. But a year later, I look back and my goodness, I've grown. You can actually gauge your progress on that. That pause and apply for me was a point of stopping and saying, sure. So it's a different way of internalizing the book. This is not a textbook. You're not going to read it and be tested on, so what does this say? No. But that pause and apply will help it stay in your head.
Has this made you a better person in relating to others?
I think
home and away.
I think it has, even for me. Mm. Because I think a lot of things, Rems, we may know them, but until it's out there or you put it out there, we might not practice as well.
Yeah.
So what I've
noticed, like that. It's almost like you're saying, I'm putting it out there, then I have to live
then
it.
Then I must live it, yeah. You know, and I have to make. So for
although
me,
disclaimer, I don't live what I wrote.
I actually thought that was.
But no, we don't go there.
It's okay. But for me, that was the biggest thing with it, that I read it and I was like, this is interesting. Even understanding what my children need from me as a mother. You know, because you have your own ideas of, as a mother, this is the type of mother I am. Sometimes you don't have those ideas. You find yourself there, you're mothering. But this made me stop and say, these kids are actually individuals. Oh my goodness. Okay. This one needs me like this. That one needs me in that way. And that one needs that one. It's different in how they need me.
Yeah.
But also how I relate with my mom. How I relate with my husband, how I relate with Ndosh at work.
Yeah.
You know, all of it comes into that.
And now that you've gone into it, as we get to the end, which is not the end, I'm still going to go into something. So I, you know, people who write, whether they're writing motivational books or they're writing fiction or whatever else they write.
I don't think this is a motivational book, by the
way. No. And I know. It's a different book altogether. But I'm just saying. Mm. And 9 out of 10 times we get asked, is this biographical? I've been asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me that question when you interviewed me.
I needed to know.
You did. Is this biographical?
No. It's not a memoir. It's not a biography. It's not. Yes, there may be points where I write about things that I've learned and experiences in life. But remember, these experiences come in many ways. Mm-hmm. Coaching sessions. As much as I may be coaching somebody else, but I'm also learning from that experience. And I always say,
as you teach, so you learn.
So you learn. I always say to my coaches, you are also teaching me something. Mm. Don't think I'm sitting here and all I'm doing is just giving you. I'm also learning from you different things about how people relate, different ideas that people have. So people do think that. Oh, wow, I didn't think that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's those experiences brought together.
Why self-publish? I'm sure a lot of publishers would have grabbed onto this.
So I must tell you, I actually had a publisher. What led me to start, remember I said to you some years before I had the chapters?
Yeah.
What led me to have the chapters is after, I mean, I've always had people, because of the radio show and all of that, I've always had people saying to me, you must write a book, da, da, da. But I had a publisher actually come to me and say, please write a book, we are ready. We will publish. Just write the book, we will do the rest. And I was like, you know, me and my brain writing is going to take me so long. Da, da, da. And they were like, whatever you want to do, you can even just record it and send to us. We'll write it. They were like, and I appreciated that. However, love their work. And I think they're absolutely amazing. But Rems, I needed the book to be reasonable. Barriers of entry with everything. We can't have that with information that is important. And for me, price is one of those. So I was very intentional about that part. So I said to myself, I would rather self-publish so that I can put it at a price that I know will be easy enough for people to get. You don't want to give away information because then people don't appreciate it, but you also don't want it to be too expensive for people to read. I looked at similar books. I went to different bookstores, walked through, searched, sat down, went through different books. Oh, I didn't see The Poison of Fly, interestingly, but walked through. But the one thing I realized was I don't want it to be anything. In fact, my cutoff was 250 Rand. So I said to myself, that's max, absolute max. And then I thought, I don't want to walk around and have to give people change in somebody, 200 Rand. Let's.
And that's what it is.
And that's what it is. It's 200 Rand. But also, I needed to do it my way. So I didn't want anybody to say to me, that chapter is too packed.
Yeah.
separated. You're giving them too much.
Yeah.
We can actually make two books out of this one. If you just put something more in there. And I was like, So the friend of mine that I said, Lerato, that I said to you, I gave her the manuscript to read. She came back and she said to me, there's a whole book here. And I was like,
don't be the publisher I didn't hire.
Don't do that. And I appreciated that. This, Rams, has also made me realize that I've got so many books sitting in my head. So many other books sitting in my head that need to come out. But I needed to go through the self-publishing journey so that I can then decide how I want this to live. And it's literally a piece of me that's outside. And how do I want this piece to live out there?
Does size matter to you?
Yes, size matters in this book. I'll tell you. I called it a relationship pocketbook.
Pocketbook, yeah.
So, here's my thinking. You're rushing, you're getting on a flight, you're going to Cape Town. And you want something that you can read that's going to be... You don't want a huge book that you're going to have to stuff into your bag. And this can fit in your little bag, can fit in a handbag, can fit in your jacket pocket. It's literally a pocketbook. And I also didn't want the excuses that, it's so big, I can't carry it anywhere, I can't read it. You can still do the work.
But friends, this is not a small book. It is actually a huge book. It is heavy. It may look small text and font. It is loaded. So don't judge it by its size. Don't judge a book by its size or cover, which is a beautiful cover, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I love how you did this. It's so simple and talking. Like it's not shouting at me.
Thank you.
$200. Where do I get it? Where do they buy it?
So from my website.
Yeah.
From my website. So that's another thing. The book brought to life a website with a domain that's been in
there
existence
forever.
More than 10 years, I think. I've been sitting with mapasekamukule.com.
Yeah.
And I always thought, what am I going to do with this? Mm. But let me have it. But then I realized if I need to distribute for myself, I need to have that space.
Mm-hmm.
So from my website, that's for starters. But I've got a few independent bookstores that have approached me, which is lovely. So it's now also at Book Circle Capital in Melville.
Yeah.
And there's a few more that I'm talking to. So we will get it out there. But from my website, and it's so quick, you simply just fill everything in. Of course, there'll be a delivery fee depending on where you are. And I courier it to you in days. 2 days. How long did you
One and a half take? Days
yeah.
I had it.
Yeah. And you got the book. So it's as easy as that. You simply just put all your details in there. A day or two later, you have your book.
And if they accost you on the road, they can bring their phone and pay immediately.
I always have the book with me. I always have a turning pay point with me, because I'm always like, I don't want to be asked and not have it. I this is what I say to my children. Rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. It's literally a mantra in the house. And I'll say to them, guys, you're going to get cold. And they'll take a jersey and they're like, rather have it than not need it. It's a mantra in my house.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And they're right? I finished the book and I said, I need more. So I hope. I sit here and I say, 2-3 years down the line, I hope there's more.
I hope there will be more too. I know there's more that is in here, but like as long as this one took sitting inside my head, we're hoping it won't take too long. But yeah, it will happen. I see the books coming. I see them in my head.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Love Doctor.
Ah! Whoa!
Mapaseka Mukwele. Please get the book. It's on her website, mapasekamukwele.com. And it's only $200.
Yep.
This is worth 200 lifetimes. It's cheap. Very cheap.
Thank you.
A giveaway. From me, Rems Mavote, goodbye and God bless.
Bye. Cameras and cutting sound.